little Kaylee gave me about 30 kisses. I wanted to turn that car around and follow him right back to the cabin and spend the rest of the week. But other than that, it is good to be home and good to see your smiling faces. Visitors, it's so good to see you here today. And folks from other churches that are not having church today, and we can understand why a lot of people are not, since we have about probably 150 or so out today, but we understand all of that. But I just felt like we ought to have church. Amen. After I came home from the Smoky Mountains, we're going to have church. Ain't no doubt about it. And we will be having church tonight at 6:30 as well. So we encourage you to be here tomorrow. Most everybody is off tomorrow for the holiday, so you can do your fireworks and whatever you do on the 4th of July, barbecuing. I ain't going to say much more about that. Y'all get hungry and you won't hear a word I say the rest of the morning. All right, let's open our Bibles to the book of John. The Gospel according to John's writings, chapter 10. Hallelujah. I was excited to hear about some of our children getting the Holy Ghost at junior camp this week. Isn't that exciting? That's why camp is so important to our kids. I said, that's why camp is so important, youth camp is so important to our kids, to get them there so God can bless them. They can see so many other kids that are being blessed as well. If you don't have your Bible, the scripture's on the screen this morning. The thief cometh not but for to steal. Everybody say to steal. Kill. And to destroy. I'm glad that's not the end of it all. This is what Jesus said. Here's the antidote. Here's the counterpunch. I am. How many knows who the I am is? I am come that they might have life. Everybody say life. And that they might have it. Everybody say more abundantly. Not just abundantly, more abundantly. One translation says, exceedingly abundantly. Above abundantly. So, here we find in this one verse the sum total of intent of the spiritual world that we live in. Amen. You've got the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. The kingdom of light has its intent and purpose to bring good. The kingdom of darkness has its intent and purpose to bring bad. I'm glad I'm a child of light this morning. Wasn't always, but I'm glad to say today, I am a child of God. How many feel that way? Are you glad about it this morning? I am a child of God. And on this pre-Eve, whatever we want to call it, 4th of July, on this day, I want to talk to you about the purpose of our freedom. I want to look at it. I want to rediscover it. I want you to rediscover it. Are y'all ready to have church here today? Amen. I hope you didn't just come to be lectured or to be preached to. I hope you came here this morning with the intent of receiving revelation, strength, renewing, such things as you have need of. Because as your expectation is, so will it come to pass in your life today. If you come expecting nothing, you won't be disappointed. If you come expecting great things, you won't be disappointed. As you expect it, so shall it be. Father, thank you for your wonderful truth today. There is nothing so powerful, so glorious, so liberating as the truth of your word. anoint me, your son and servant and messenger this morning to declare, hallelujah, this wonderful life and liberty that you've given us all. We thank you for this, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Put your Bibles down and clap your hands to the Lord. It was a wonderful thing. There's no way that our limited minds and understanding could even begin to understand what it was like in the Garden of Eden, in a time of perfection, in a time of absolute purity. If you ever wonder about it, I have many times. I've wondered what it would be like when the Scripture says the voice of God walked with Adam. Amen. The voice of God took on an image that was discernible to Adam. Or maybe it was because the spirit and mind and heart of Adam was so pure that he could see the spirit. Amen. However it was, I don't know, but I just know the Scripture says that the voice of God walked with Adam in the cool of the day. When was the cool of the day? Probably evening, but also the cool of the day is morning. It could have been both. But whatever it was, there was some point, some place, some time that a rendezvous took place where Adam came and talked to God and told him all about it. He came one day and said, Lord, I'm lonely. God could have said, look, I've given you everything. You're the only man in the entire world. I've given you power over everything that lives. I've given you ability to name them all. All the animals, the birds, and everything else. You are the man of the earth. But I'm lonely. And God saw that he was lonely. Amen. So you know the story. He put him in a great sleep. Took his rib and made him a wife and gave the wife to Adam. Now, we'd have a lot less divorces if people just waited for God to give that right one to you. But so often, once they get about 16 years old, they get thinking God needs a little help. You know, God ain't working enough here and get in trouble over all that. But the Lord didn't want him to be lonely. He saw that loneliness was something that wasn't good for him. because he wanted him to be happy. My point today is God wants his people to be happy. The reason the Lord established the United States of America, because he wanted a place on planet Earth where people could come and worship God according to the dictates of their heart, according to the Word of God, and be happy. Amen. America has so far backslid from its initial intents and where it was at its beginning. I'm old enough, I was going to say young enough, but I'm old enough to remember the pursuit of the American dream. When a man probably would marry his high school sweetheart. They would marry and get a little house. Have a couple kids. No, back then the average was about 8, I think, where I came from. Wasn't a couple. But anyhow, they would have a bunch of kids. There was 9 in our family. And then they would buy a farm. They would work that farm. Their dream, their pursuit in life was to build something they could pass on to a next generation that wasn't full of debt and everything else. They wanted to raise their family, care for their family, keep a roof over their head, food on the table. It wasn't about Mercedes-Benz. It wasn't about keeping up with the Joneses or the Smiths and all of that. It was neighbor helping neighbor. I remember when we used to have hog killings. How many of y'all have been to a hog killing? Well, praise God, we're in good company here this morning. When you had a hog killing, several would come in to help do it, to butcher the hogs, and they would share the meat with them. When one would get the crop in, the others would go help the others get the crop in. Everybody helped everybody. Today, we don't even know who our neighbors are. Amen. It's the wildest thing in the world how far in one generation or so that America has gone. It's gone from the pursuit of the American dream to living the American nightmare. Amen. You're afraid to even allow your children to play in the yard today. Parents are afraid to let their kids get out of the house because of sexual perverts, liberal judges will not keep behind bars. They'll turn them loose, amen, and let some that ought to be turned loose leave them in jail. Because the liberal activist judges have always been in defense of the one that's guilty and not the victims. And that's what we're seeing today, as we even heard yesterday of it happening again. So many situations, the nightmares of people working for 30 years and saying, I've got a good retirement because I'm working for GM or whoever else I'm working for, only to find that they don't know if their retirement's going to be there now. A lot of them are losing it. Everything is turning. What used to be established as something you can count on in America, you can no longer count on it in America. That was not what America was founded for. But somehow or another, we left the American dream and started reaching out to something else other than what God intended. The liberties to worship God according to our own heart's desire turned in to give license to perverts, license to Satan worshipers, license to people, amen, that would come into our nation under the guise of religiosity and there destroy our buildings and families and everything else. That was not what America was made for. I want to read to you just a beginning portion of the Declaration of Independence. I thought about reading it all today, but I won't do that. I just want to read the beginning portion of it. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by the Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are, everybody say liberty, life, and the pursuit of happiness. He said the reason God has given these truths to us is because He wants us to understand first that everybody is created equal. There's no big I's or little U's in the eyes of God. Mankind has created the social ladder. Mankind has created the racial ladder. Amen. God didn't do that. There's only one race that God acknowledges, and that's the human race. Everything else that's identified man has done that. But He said, for all those of whom He has created equal, they've been endowed with the right to have life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Where is all of that today in America? Where is the life? Where is the liberty? Where is the pursuit of happiness? People just trying to get by from day to day. Yeah, 70% of North America are on some kind of tranquilizing drugs, nerve pills, whatever. Why? Because we're in a tailspin in North America. You know why? Because we have forsaken the God that founded us. America has turned her back and turn her face on the God of which she was founded. Let me tell you, we came to being by the grace of God, and the only way we will stay as a sovereign nation is by the grace of God. You take God out of the factor, then we're going to be under some other nation, under some other confederation. I was livid here a few years ago when they had a ship that was coming by Vietnam. And they said the only way they would let our ship come through is that they would bring down the American flag and fly the, I believe it was a UN flag above it. Now that may not mean a whole lot to some of you, but it means a whole lot to me. Because nowhere, and it means a lot in history, because nowhere at no time in history has the American flag on American vessels or American soil ever been flown anywhere other than the top. You may see it with several other flags below it, representing countries, nations, peoples, purpose, so forth. But the American flag would be atop. But we had a president that didn't seem important to. That's why he was a draft dodger when the war was going on. And so consequently, it didn't bother him. I just take it down and throw it up there. But that bothers me. It bothers me when I see people sell our American ways out to a socialistic society. Amen. To United Nations. We can't attack without the United Nations endorsing us. They can attack us, but we can't attack them. Amen. Thank God for a president with backbone, guts, and enough patriotism to stand up, hallelujah, not only stand against the terrorists, but stand against the terrorists that set as leaders in the United Nations and say, you can come with us if you don't want to, but if you don't, we'll come alone. Praise God for that. Amen. To bring back peace. And people say it ain't working. They say this thing is really not working. Oh, from 9/11, I don't remember any other buildings being blown up. I don't remember any other planes being hijacked since 9/11. I think it's working. And I think Iraq was the right place to take the fight. Amen. Only about 10% of the insurgents over there that are fighting against us and the Iraqis are actually Iraqis. The rest of them are from, 42% of them are from Saudi Arabia, they say. Terrorists that mean to do us harm are not coming here, they're coming there. We're fighting this thing out on their soil. I would much rather fight the war in Iraq than I would New York City. Praise God. So I want you to know I'm still proud of America. I still love America. I'm still proud to be an American. Amen. And the more we see how stupid, ridiculous, and lopsided the laws of the socialistic countries, like Denmark, these kind of places, like Aruba, you know, you got a little girl over there probably killed, but they can't do nothing about it because of their socialistic laws. No body, no case. That's ridiculous. All that means is if you kill somebody, if we had that law over here, you could kill somebody, get rid of the body, you ain't got a case. Amen. The only thing I can figure out is Peterson must have been Dutch and tried that on his own. Amen. But thank God for America and all of her flaws and all of her judicial wrinkles. We call it a justice system. I don't believe it's a justice system, but I believe it's the best we got. I don't think it's a justice system because if you got enough money, as one fellow said, you're innocent to proven broke. If you got the money, you're going to walk. We have seen that through our system. If you don't have the money, they're going to get a court-appointed lawyer that can't get a job at any other firm. You know? 3 weeks ago, he was working at McDonald's. And now he's your defense attorney appointed. It's no wonder. We got a kid down here, a young man, Grayson, you remember it? Killed two women, horrible situation. He ought to be, you know, he was found guilty and he ought to be punished for it. But not 20 years. Not an 18-year-old kid that's out there just racing, not meaning or maliciously intent, and turned right around. And when they had another murder, I can't remember, they got him for some kind of manslaughter and just gave him a few years that meant to kill somebody. That's the difference between court-appointed attorneys and you having enough money to hire one. So, gentlemen, if you ever get in trouble, find you some money somewhere to hire you a lawyer, lest you end up with Barney Fife on your team, and you are going to jail. Whether you're guilty or innocent, you are going to jail. Let me get back to the message here before I run out of time. Everybody say life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. I want to bring this down to a spiritual perspective because in reality, all the documents and the edicts and so forth, whatever laws may be passed, that ain't going to amount to anything about liberating people as we know liberation. Praise God. The emancipation did not free the blacks. It set them free from their master, but it didn't set them free from the sin. The fact of the matter is, if you look at the black population today as we know it, and look back again, I must be getting old. They say when you're always talking about what happened when you was a kid, you're getting old. I guess I'm getting old. But I remember when black men married, loved their wives, had children, they worked hard, they taught their kids to work hard, they taught them respect. Amen. They didn't live in projects. They may not have had a very big house. They may not have had a PhD, and they may have had to work in the tobacco fields and on the farms or dairy or whatever. But they did what they had to do, but they had a sense of pride. They had a sense of the fear of God and respect toward one another. I remember it very well because I was raised in that kind of community. But are they free? Are people free today when 13-year-old kids are going out and getting on drugs? 12 and 13-year-old girls getting abortions? Husbands coming in. I'll take that back. Men coming in. With a lot of promise, get the girl pregnant, then it's goodbye. Leaving her there to raise this baby, and many by the help of grandparents, trying to raise that baby, she needs a companion, so she lets some other sloppy Joe come in. Man, I tell you what, this nation needs a good deliverance for its women on spirit of ignorance. How can they be so stupid as to choose these losers? Does it make any sense to anybody? I'm talking losers. Before you even think about dating somebody, ask him where he works. Ask him how long he's had the job. If he asks you for a date, and then turns around and wants to know what kind of car you got so he'll know what to look for when you come to get him. Look close right here. There's a big L if you look closely. It stands for loser. if you have to pay for the meal. We were coming home yesterday, and these things bother me. It may not bother anybody but me, but it does me. And I looked, and here came this little old car. You can tell it's some kid, just probably the first car they bought. This little blonde-headed girl driving up through there. Hear this long-legged jerk on the other side, all laid back, foot propped up against the dash. I told my wife, I said, look at that. They were speeding on past us. I said, you would have never seen that in my younger years. Never. Oh, if I had to have the woman to drive me when I was 16, 18 years old, I would have laid down on the floorboard. There is no way. If my car was broke down, I'd say, honey, I'll drive. Scoot over. But you see it all the time today. He said, now, Brother Adams, I see Sister Adams driving you a lot. Yeah. This happens on this end of life. Some of you brothers know what I'm talking about. I can get a witness from some of you here this morning. But when you're 16 and 18 years, that don't happen, folks. That don't happen. And some of the language they use to talk about their girlfriends, the names that they call them, I'm going to get my... This is my bee. I'm not talking about honeybee either. And this little dingy girl. Oh, how I would like to combine the 13 to 20-year-old girls today all together and lay my hands on them and pray a prayer of deliverance and not turn loose until all the ignorance has ran out of them. So, Brother Adams, that offends me. Think about it. I want it to affect you because I want you to use your head and not your heart. Because God created you to have life. Not a miserable life, but a good life. Come on. America was created where you could have life. Jesus Christ said, I am come that you might have life. Broken homes, broken marriages, broken dreams, broken hearts. That's not what Jesus came for. That's what the devil came for. And if somebody gives you those things, they are of the devil and not of God. Jesus said, I am come that you might have life. Oh, praise God. I'm glad for the life I got when I came to Jesus Christ. Oh, we used to go around saying, oh, I'm free and 21. I'll do what I want to do. Anybody remember that little slogan there? We didn't do what we wanted to do. We did what the devil wanted us to do. That's why we act like the devil, cuss like the devil, live like the devil. Amen. Did everything was big enough to do, and some things we quickly learned we wasn't big enough to do. Let me tell you what Paul said in Ephesians 2, verses 1 and 2. If they put it on the screen, please. Praise God. I must have talked too long. My media room went sleep on me. Here we are. And you hath he quickened. Everybody say quickened. Meaning bringing back to life. Not just waking up. You know, when somebody wakes you up, yeah. That ain't quickened. You're awake, but you don't even know who you are. But when you're quickened, you are brought to abundant life. Now, he said you were dead in trespasses and sins. So see, you can live in America in the land of the free and still be in bondage. Amen. Hallelujah. I want you to catch hold of this now. It don't matter what kind of laws is passed in Congress, Senate, by the President, to set anybody free, nobody can truly be free until they know Jesus Christ in a born-again experience. Amen. He said, wherein in time past, Paul must have been about my age when he was writing this, in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air and the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. He said, that's what you used to be. The prince of the power of the air. The devil used to control your life. How many times have you heard people say, yeah, these cigarettes, I just smoke them because I like them. I can throw them away anytime I wanted to. You know, these booze don't bother me. I enjoy drinking, but I could quit anytime I wanted to. These drugs, you know, I enjoy them, but I could just quit anytime I wanted to. Dummy. If you think you can, then throw them away, honey. And all of a sudden, you're going to realize that the tough man that you thought you were, a little old stick the size of a pencil and about 3.5 inches long, has got more power than what you got. You're going to find that those drugs you were taking, those pills you were popping, that stuff you were snorting that you thought you could give up any time you wanted to, all of a sudden you can't think about nothing but that. Your gut is turning and growling. If you were an alcoholic, you know what it was like, to the DTs, your hands are shaking and things rushing through your mind and you're hurting all over just trying to get to another drink. Oh, I could just quit any time I wanted to. Oh, no. No, no. As long as you are a sinner, you will do whatever the world and the devil wants you to do. You say, well, I never do this, I never do that. Let me just tell you this morning very candidly, you don't know what you'll do if you keep living in sin. You don't know what you will become if you keep living in sin. The diaries of serial killers, if you ever read them, I've read about 2 or 3 of them. And if you will read, they will tell you in the course of their horrible activities of being a serial killer, they're wanting to get caught. They do things to get caught. They leave things on their murder site, the crime scene, so that the officials could pick it up and catch them. They're writing, I wanted to get caught. I want out of this. One man would even call after he would rape and kill a woman. He would call into the police, the 911, crying out, please catch me. Stop me. I don't want to do this no more. And they would hear those calls, but somehow they could never catch him. I'm simply telling you that because people that they never dreamed how far it would have taken them. Ted Bundy. Ted Bundy probably don't even know how many people he killed. Kids. Women. You know how it started? It started by looking at a Playboy magazine when he was a kid. Oh, that's harmless. It's just a little kid. Let him look through there. That way he won't end up being a homosexual. He ended up worse than a homosexual. It put him into porn and ended up being a murderous pervert. Killed a lot of people, brought tears and broken hearts and homes to a lot of people because something got a hold of him as a young kid reading Daddy's Playboy magazine that he never could get loose from. When he talked to James Dobson before they executed him, he confessed all of this stuff. He said, I want it out. He didn't know how to get out. Let me tell you what, the church has visibly failed America. We could talk about how much America has failed, but I'm telling you, the church of the living God has miserably failed America. There's people wanting out of things out there that can't get out because they don't know where to go to get out. The church has got the message. The church has got the power. Most of the time is so clannish and locked in across the tracks and behind the woods and the trees somewhere. Nobody even knows where they're at. And that's a sad fact. If it was up to people in the little apostolic church where I was raised, if it was up to the people and the members of that church to invite me to church or anybody else, they never came. It would have never happened. Amen. We have miserably failed our great nation, America. We have failed to pray for our presidents. We have failed to pray for America. Amen. We're just enjoying the bounty. We're just enjoying the freedom, the liberties. We're enjoying the good jobs. We're enjoying the food, the adventures, and so forth. But somewhere, someday, the well's going to run dry. This chick's going to quit laying eggs one of these days if somebody don't start praying for her. How many believe what I'm talking about? The best thing you can do this 4th of July is not just shoot firecrackers and blow things up in the air. The best thing you can do is send some prayers up in the air for America and say, God bless America. God bless our troops. God bless our people. God bless our nation. God wants you to have life, and He wants you to have it more abundantly. And I'm glad I've come from death to life through Jesus Christ. Then He said, not only life, but liberty. Liberty means being free from bondage. Galatians 5:1 says, stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again. Everybody say again. With the yoke of bondage. What He's saying, God has brought you out, stay out. God's given you life, keep on living. God raised you up when you was down, keep standing up. Stand fast in it. Amen. When temptation comes and tries to lure you, stand fast in the liberty.
Hallelujah.
If you go backwards, the Bible says it's like a sow returning to its mar, and like a dog returning to its vomit. Why would anybody leave life and go back to death? Leave light and go back to darkness. To leave the church and go back to sin. But you see it all the time. Amen. And it's much worse when they go back. But it's not the will of God, because He wants us to have life and liberty. And also, He wants us to have happiness. In fact, He wants us to have more than happiness. He wants us to have joy. See, happiness is too superficial. Happiness is something that I can have right now. I'm happy right now, but I could get a phone call in 5 minutes, and all of a sudden the sun will set on my happiness. We pray that don't happen, but it does. Amen. That's how thin happiness is. But joy. Everybody say joy. Things can take away your happiness, but nothing can take away your joy. You see, if the world can make you happy, it can make you sad. But the unique part about joy, only place you can get joy is through Jesus Christ. And inasmuch as it's the only place we can get it, if the world didn't give it, the world can't take it away. That's why when the happiness is gone, joy sustains us. Amen. You're sitting there, you're looking at your loved one in a casket, your heart's broken, tears flowing, you ain't happy. You'd be crazy if you was happy. Somebody told me a while back about a church and a pastor, they've got it set up in their church that anytime one of their members die and they have the funeral, that they just shout all over the place all the time of the funeral. Well, if the Lord was to move that way, that would be fine. But other than that, I think it's kind of crazy. Amen. The Bible says there's a time for all things. There is a time to mourn. That don't mean you're weak. That means you're human. It means you're living in reality. Because you've lost something dear to you and you're hurt. Amen. Happiness has evaded you. Sadness has got a hold of you. But somewhere down, beyond these superficial emotions, there is something that's given you strength. There's something that's given you hope. There's something that says you're going to get through this thing. There's something that says, God's still got a hold of you. Your sun will shine again. This trial will not last always. Something that says the battle's going to be over before long. It don't matter what you face. It is there. Paul said nothing can separate us from it. Not even death, not life, nor angels, nor principalities, things present, nor things to come. Nothing can separate us from this element that God wants to give us beyond happiness. It's called joy. If y'all would put that on the screen, please. Then he said to them, Go ahead. The next one. There you go. He said, for the joy of the Lord. Everybody say, the joy of the Lord. Hallelujah. It ain't my joy. It's His joy that He put in me. If it was my joy, it would be as weak as I am. But since it's His joy, it's as strong as He is. Hallelujah. And the joy of the Lord, when He puts it in our heart and in our soul, it absorbs into our very being and we find strength. Praise God. Where does it come from? How do we make it through it? How do we endure this test? All of a sudden, in your darkest valley, joy says, look over here. And you're going to see a lily spring up in that valley. And that lily assures you God is with you. In your darkest night, when your head is dropped, all emotions are just ravaged, and suddenly joy says, look up. And when you do, in that dark night, blanket of night, you're going to see a very bright light. It's called the bright and morning star. It's the voice of God that says, I'm not forsaken you. I'm still here. I'm talking about the liberty that we have as Christians. We don't have to live the way some of us are living. We don't have to go around down in the dumps all the time. We don't have to go around being losers. He said, you ought to be winners. He told Israel, said, you're going to be the head and not the tail. You're going to be the one that's lending, not the one that's borrowing. You're going to be on top and not the bottom. Come on, apostolics. We got to get into this thing. God has more for us than what we are living. We are living beneath our privilege. Amen. The elder brother, when the prodigal came home, he got mad because a party was made and the fatted calf was killed. And he filed his complaint to the father and said, all these years I served you. You ain't never killed the fatted calf. You ain't never had a party with my friends for me. He said, son, all these years you were with me. Everything I had was yours. All you had to do was ask. If you wanted a party, ask for a party. Hey, apostolics, it's here for us. If you want joy, you can have joy. If you want liberty, you can have liberty. Hallelujah. If you want to stay out of the pit that God brought you from and instead of going back there, you can do that. Because the same God that brought you out is big enough to keep you out. Yeah. What we have to do in America and what we have to do in the church is make our mind up. What do we want out of life? What do we want out of this nation? And what do we want from being Christian? I choose a smile above a frown. Hallelujah. Yes, I do. I choose waking up in the morning knowing that God is with me. I choose going to bed at night and putting my head on a pillow, knowing that if the Lord sounds a trumpet before morning, I'll see you in the rapture. Praise God, I don't have to wake up hungover, headache, bloodshot eyes, swollen face, trying to figure out where I was at last night. Roll over real slow. Some of y'all laughing, you know what I mean. Real slow. Don't have to do that no more. Why? Because we have passed from death to life. Hallelujah, through Jesus Christ. That's the freedom I'm talking about. I'm free to love everybody. I don't have one enemy in this world. I've been searching this out for several months now. And I told my wife, I said, I am not, there'll be no enemies in my life. There may be people that's got some hang-ups with me, but not me. I ain't getting into that business. We're too close to the coming of the Lord. I've got to keep my heart right and pure. I have no enemies. I love everybody. The people that have trouble with me, some preachers even that have trouble. Can you imagine? As easy as I am to love and everything, and some of them having trouble with me. But some of these guys I'm going to and talking to, I'm going to have some of them come preach for me. I asked one to preach for me during camp. Couldn't believe it. Yeah, I want you to come. I want you to come preach for me. I'm going to love you so much you can't hate me no more. Hallelujah. The Bible says you overcome evil with what? Good. The best way to take care of your enemies is to make them your friends. And that's what I plan to do, folks. I'm going to be a Christian. With everything in me and by the help and grace of God, I am going to be a Christian. And if I'm going to be a Christian, I got to look at a Judas Iscariot and call him friend, and kiss him like Jesus did. Amen. Hallelujah. Lord, help us. I said, Lord, help us. I ain't there yet, but I'm on my way. And I know I can make it because God wants me to have life in it more abundantly. He wants me to have liberty above all that I can imagine and not be in bondage to anything or any nothing. I'm cut loose from my past. There's people that get forgiven of things they've done in the past, but somehow or another the skeletons in the closet just keep them anchored to that. No, Jesus give you liberty. It's cut loose. Your past is past. Your future belongs to God. Your present belongs to God. And pursuit of happiness. Pursuit of happiness. I want you to smile. I'm waiting for some groans because I think it hurt some of you. The reason I want you to smile is because the expressions that you make on your face is the attitude you have in your heart. When in deliverance meetings and I'm praying for people to receive the Holy Ghost, and here they are. You've seen it. They ain't going to get no Holy Ghost. Ain't no Holy Ghost coming that way. So I go down and I do the unpardonable and the unthinkable. I stop them. I say, brother, stop. Stop. People around there praying with him, just looking at me, why are you stopping him? He's in the spirit. He ain't no spirit. Now, brother, the Bible says all good gifts come from down from above. You don't need to be looking down if you want something from above. And have you repented? Yes, I've repented. God's forgiven you? Yes. Forgiven yourself? Yes. Then why are you crying in such agony? I'm going to pray for you, and I want you to look up. And when you look up and begin to praise God, I want you to put a smile on your face. And folks, when that happens and they obey, God fills them with the Holy Ghost and the joy that accompanies it. Because the way you're looking, the direction you're looking, and the expression of your face mirrors, parrots, the attitude of your heart. So smile again. What's the old song, Sister Adams? Smile a while. Give your face a rest. Raise your hands to the ones you love the best. All right, stand with me right now. We're going to do this. Why? Because I want you to smile. Christians need to learn to smile. I heard a preacher many years ago, and I was just a young preacher. He said, you never find where Jesus Christ ever laughed. And he said, I don't think it's right to do it either. I thought, man, I'm glad you ain't my pastor. Somebody needs to tell him a joke. A good one. All right, are you ready to smile? It's contagious now. I'm telling you, when one of you start doing it, it's going to start jumping, getting here and there, and some of you are going to start feeling better. And some of you, you're going to have to put lotion on your face after that because it ain't wrinkled up there in so long. It might stretch some. If you get sore in there after this little thing, just go home, massage it there. It'll be all right. And just keep on smiling. When the devil comes after you, smile. Amen. When the enemy comes in like a flood, smile. Why? Because you know the Lord is going to lift up a standard against him. Hallelujah. I can smile. Hallelujah. All right. Smile a while and give your face a rest. Raise your, come on. You love the best. Turn around to someone new. Shake their hand and smile. Oh, Lord. Ain't that good? It makes you feel good to smile. Hallelujah. The founding fathers of our nation in all its intent. In fact, if you read the Declaration, I encourage you to do that. Get online, get in your history books, whatever, read it. You will find that they vowed their lives, their fortunes, everything they had to establish a nation and a government wherein people could have life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. Many of them died. What didn't die lost their fortunes. I'm talking fortunes. So there could be an America where people could smile. America where people could still dream. And America where people could still live together and not be enemies of one another. And America where people could still love and trust their neighbor. Praise God. And America where people could have the right and the privilege to worship God in spirit and in truth. I'm so glad, I'm so proud to be an American this morning. Lift your hands and thank God for it.
Praise God.
America, America, God shed His grace on thee and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. Let's just lift our hands, wave them to the Lord. Hallelujah. Just thank Him for having the privilege to be somewhere where you can lift your hands this morning. Just thank God that you're in a nation where you can raise your children. Don't have to worry about them taking your kids away from you. Hallelujah. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. If you're not walking in the liberty this morning that God intended you to walk and to live in, this would be a wonderful day, a wonderful service to turn it all around.